Sorry.
Oh, no, no, it's okay. I had a mouthful, but right. I'm sure Z covered the majority of the things that I had to say about sustainability.
That's great.
But I think a lot of the things, actually, I'll say more. A lot of the complaints that people have about the American lifestyle, that, you know, the excess, the amount of excess, the amount of consumption we do, can really be,
Can you hold that?
The drop, peak oil, it can actually be a good thing because people will start to reevaluate their lifestyles and live more sustainably, and hopefully some of the shallowness and some of the how everyone bases each other on material goods will subside, and we can focus on more spiritual growth and community growth as opposed to consumption and status symbols through big cars and excess. You know?
But James, I love your optimism, but I'm thinking if a country can have a war over oil, even though there's already rapeseed oil and other alternatives out there, and an industry can run so many cars in oil and it fuels the economy, even though there are very cheap and sustainable resources out there, if this can be done, you know, surely they will protect their interests when it comes to the crunch and everybody will suffer.
Well, I'm hoping that something will change by then, because you have to understand that the people that are in the federal government right now don't resemble my views and a lot of my friends' views on the things that we hope will happen. They're the ones that are over there, you know, in Iraq. They don't represent my interests or many of the people I know's interests. And hopefully we can get some democracy. The sustainability movement will hopefully force our federal government to realize that this is a problem and will buy more renewables. And so my father's an electrician, and he is installing photovoltaic cells, you know, solar panels as we speak, probably. So it's getting there. You know, the state government is giving loans to people and subsidizing people for installing solar panels on their roofs. I know that's the case on Long Island, which is one of the biggest consumers in the United States.
Yeah. And there are fuel cells and windmills and stuff. But I'm thinking, if the military industrial complex can be employed to go on a very expensive war in Iraq, surely it will be employed and could be employed to go against the American people themselves.
Yeah, I think so.
In the interest of oil companies, perhaps.
So what was the
question? Does that worry you?
What's that?
Does that worry you? That they could
employ the American army against its own citizens if it did come to an oil crisis?
Yeah, it does worry me quite a bit, actually. Okay. I'm kind of lost for words. I'm trying to think. The federal government can use the military-industrial complex
against the American people. In the interest of the oil companies, they will do it.
Yeah. Well, I think the federal government of the United States has been using the military-industrial complex against the American people since the military existed, you know, because I don't think any war has been in the benefit of the average American, you know, middle-class or poor American. I think that it just hasn't been. All the investing that's going on, all the stock inflation and all the amount of profits that are being made over there, they're just basically privatizing all of Iraq. They're not. And the people that are all dying are the people that had no choice, and they thought that I don't want to say ignorant, lack of better words, about their options and how to get money for college, and they believe that the military was the only way. Because you have to understand, the No Child Left Behind Act, which I like to call the Every Child Left Behind Act, it's somewhere deep in the pages of it that says that military recruiters are allowed to walk through the hallways of high schools now, and the principal, the school district, has to give to the military recruiters every available graduating senior's phone number. So you have to wonder how pervasive are, you know, the military-industrial complex is in our country, and if the current administration can pass laws to even further, you know, penetrate the military into our schools and into, you know, deeper in to every aspect of our life. And I don't think that if some of the kids in these schools had an idea of the other opportunities that they could have and how bad the military option is, in my opinion, that they would choose to do something else. Actually, there is some people, like in the South Bronx, there was the Bronx Community College, I want to say, actually had a very large protest and pushed the military recruiters off their campus. So there are some people that are starting to resist. And when I protested in the Bronx for a march, that was actually for that. They wanted to, there's lots of movements to push military recruiters out of schools and out of public schools.
Well, I'm thinking if they open fire on protesters against Vietnam, for instance, that they will open fire if it comes to protecting their interests when the American economy collapses as a result of the oil crisis. Is it a possibility?
That if they open fire on protesters?
Well, not just that, but that they will use the junta that is there now in the White House will become more overt and become a real military state.
Has the United States become a military
state? Well, I know it is now, but I mean, it will become an overt one that will have troops opening fire on protesters like in Tiananmen Square.
Well, I think that, no pun intended, if something like that did happen, it would completely backfire on them, and you'd have more and more people become politically active because they'd realize just how pervasive the problem is. And I know in Kent State in Ohio, when the Vietnam protesters were shot there, it just started an even bigger movement. So, you know, I don't think any bad. I remain optimistic. Hopefully it'll backfire on them. And more people become, same thing with the draft. I don't think that the reinstituting the draft would be such a bad thing, because then maybe some people would stop watching, you know, football and baseball and turn on to politics.
Are you worried about the middle America, the religious right in America, and how strong it's become, and that this is a very hard thing to tackle?
Yeah, the religious right, I don't think there's really a separation between church and state anymore. I think that some of the things that the Christian right has done, the neocons have done in this day and age, is really absurd. Church and state are now one. I don't know, I have to collect my thoughts.
It's okay.
It's a lot to take on. I get so worked up about it, you know.
Of course, yeah. I understand.
Good questions, though.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I wish some other people would start trying to figure out what's going on. But I don't think the turnout here is good enough, you know?
Yeah. How many people do you think are here today?
Oh, geez. You say about 100? 70, between 70 and 100.
And there's another maybe 70 to 100 in sight, maybe.
Yeah. So it's not too bad, but it's been completely marginalized by the mainstream media, you know?
Have you seen Cindy Sheehan has taken up a lot more press pages? But does that seem strange? They're appealing to more selfish interests to take the lads back out rather than appealing to the deeper sort of causes.
What was that question?
You know the way the Cindy Sheehan movement, it's appealing to, we don't want any more of our sons to die, rather than appealing to the deeper causes. But I suppose it doesn't really matter.
I understand. That's something that's basically just, you know, the top of this, just the top of the barrel. There's really more going on than that, but that affects people directly as opposed to all the other things that are more pervasive in our culture. That's something that has literally directly impacted someone. And before that, I don't know where she stood. I don't know if Sheehan went to church on Sundays and was for Bush. You don't know these things, you know. You never know where she was before this. So she hopefully helped to start something else again and make people more politically aware of what's going on.
By the way, are either of you afraid that your emails are being censored or intercepted in an Operation Echelon, or afraid about your civil liberties being infringed behind your back at the moment?
Well, I know for a fact that my civil liberties are being infringed upon by the Patriot Act, so am I scared? No, I'm not really scared. I mean, I'm an activist, but at the same time, I don't really do anything that's going to really put me in danger. Pretty much, I'm more afraid for people who are immigrants, for other people who don't have the right that U.S. citizens have, despite the fact that you can be held without habeas corpus. I mean, habeas corpus has been suspended. You can be thrown in jail for, I think it's 2 years at a time without any sort of indictment or anything like that, whisked away to a CIA holding facility somewhere in some clandestine little island off in the South Pacific. Who knows? But I do know that the Patriot Act was modeled after a similar legislation in England, where actually you can be held sight unseen for much longer than the U.S. statutes. Yeah, the Prevention of Terrorism Act. So yeah, I'm not necessarily scared, although I'm aware of what's going on, and I definitely do watch what I say.
On the immigration issue, do you think that by denying immigrants rights, that it means that an underclass can develop, which can be lower wages, which will affect them and turn maybe people who are naturalized citizens against immigrants for that reason.
Well, I mean, if you take the example of California and Texas, I mean, pretty much U.S. stole that land from Mexico legally, illegally, however you'd like to say it, by means of war. But the Mexicans are reclaiming their land, as my father put it, with their testicles. So basically they're coming in and they're reproducing, and they will eventually become the majority, regardless of their actual naturalized status. And most Americans who are against immigrants coming in are the people who are very lazy, to generalize, and those people who claim that Mexicans are stealing their jobs, but those are the jobs that they would never, ever want to do. They don't want to go into strawberry fields and pick strawberries for 10 to 16 hours a day. They just would not do it because they're used to a standard of living. They've been convinced by television and the corporate media, to quote from Fight Club, that we'd all be rock stars and politicians and famous, and they're not. And so people are angry. They need some place to put to. They need a convenient excuse, a scapegoat to put their blame on. And why not? Why not? The easiest place to put that blame is on the other, the non-American, the person who's coming in and supposedly stealing all these jobs that they would never want to do.
Very good. Well, I think I've run out of questions for the time being anyway, so but thank you very much to both of you. What's your name again?
James Feldman.
I'm Denizak Bashola. Z.
With a Z. Very good. Thank you very much.